Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. We're getting down to business, all right? Big business. In the last 2 days, we've heard of significant deals and acquisitions that could potentially take place, again, on the back of regulatory issues that do still need to be considered. However, should these deals go through, they will be significant. Essentially, a Saudi Arabian group called Zahid Group, in partnership with a local consortium called Encha, is likely going to buy out the remaining shareholding of Barlow World. Barlow World is a crucial and big company in South Africa that largely plays within the construction space, but also when it comes to food and consumer goods through their business called Ingrain. Coupled with that, Bidvest has confirmed that it's selling its banking business to Access Bank for $2.8 billion. Access Bank is not new to South Africa. They actually gained entry into the market well over a few years ago and have since been ensuring that they try to entrench themselves in the local environment and grow and expand from there. To tell us more about these deals, what they mean, their significance, and of course, how we should be monitoring this as investors, we joined by a good friend of the show, someone who always teaches us around the business case studies and companies we evaluate. That's Chief Investment Officer at Benguela Global Fund Managers, Zwelakhe Nguni. But Zwelakhe, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Gugs. Good evening to your listeners.
Oh, I'm excited to speak to you because just when we thought the year was quieting down, these two major announcements come through, right? But let's start off with Barlow World, because this has also been a major company for us to pay attention to. They had some troubles post the pandemic. Then the crisis in Russia, given the invasion of Ukraine, took place. But overall, if we reflect on their last and most latest financial results, they've managed to recover and been doing performing incredibly well over some time.
So certainly, I think it's been a strong comeback. And I think if you look at the transaction, it does suggest that there's a lot more optimism baked into what management is seeing into the future. And I think they made an amazing comeback. But naturally, they've got quite a strong market position in that they are an exclusive distributor of Caterpillar equipment, the American yellow equipment manufacturer.
Yes.
And they make money on new machines, second-hand machines, parts, and maintenance. So those channels are relatively strong over time. We live in an area where there is always mining activity, and in some cases, on the rest of the continent, there is a lot of construction activity that does step up some of that equipment. On the other hand, they are in grain business. It's also very good that they bought from Tongaat. It's a good business that feeds into the manufacturing of alcohols and starch that's used in that manufacturing. So very good business overall, and I think it's an amazing outlook that the management has. I mean, to offer what they offered, I think it's an amazing outlook.
And you're right, they've managed to recover well significantly over the last few years and even unbundled Avis, now known as Zeda, on the JSC. But let's talk about this acquisition or extension of the acquisition and proposed buyout from Zahid Group. From what we understand, Zahid Group actually owns 19% of Barlow World as things stand, in partnership with a local holding called Encha, where we understand the CEO of Barlow World, Dominic Siwela, is also involved and is a partner. They're looking to buy out the business. Let's talk about Zahid Group, who they are, what they stand for, and just their size. Looking at their website, this is a formidable business with more than 6,500 employees, wide variety of investment holdings that they have right across a wide variety of sectors, from energy, hospitality, manufacturing, even real estate. So this is not a small player in the Saudi Arabian and even global market space, right?
No, certainly. They are a massive player. Founded by the Zahid family. I forgot how many years they've been in business, but they've done exceptionally well to diversify from their original base vehicle distribution business to build a massive conglomerate. And I think at the back of my mind, when I looked at what was being offered by this consortium, it did kind of strike me as they are in the Middle East. They see a lot of activity and development, and they know that there could be yellow equipment required. And buying this company means that they will lock in that margin, the returns for themselves out of that. So I think they've got quite a vast network of relationships that have worked for them very, very well. So they are not a small player. They're a massive player.
Definitely. I do see here that they actually have been working and distributing Caterpillar equipment over the last 60 years. So I guess the connection definitely makes sense. And as you say, they're not a small player, have been very involved, not only in terms of employment in Saudi Arabia, but a wide variety of sectors as well, right across the globe. Let's talk about the structure of the deal. I guess what surprised everyone yesterday was the involvement of the CEO, Dominic Sewela, in the local consortium called Encha. How is that being viewed by the market?
Look, I think it was frowned upon and for one reason only, that it was not disclosed all along that he was a participant in the transaction. I think in terms of this type of deal where management is involved, it's like almost like a management buyout. I don't think there's anything wrong about it. There's anything surprising. But I think the fact that it was only disclosed yesterday that he's a major participant in this particular case, because he is actually he's a manco that manages the whole business that we bought out, what they call a NewCo. And they own 51% of that. So it's the CEO's trust and the empowerment trust that own that 51%. Mm-hmm. So I think that size of ownership, that quantum of money involved is something that I think the market was taken by surprise in terms of seeing that.
Does this, I guess, throw a spanner in the works in terms of not only shareholder approval, despite the fact that the share price shot up yesterday, but from a regulatory point of view too?
No. I think they kind of made up for any disgruntlement in the shareholders or among shareholders through a price. I mean, the price that they offered, I mean,
it's you'd have to, right? It's a premium.
Break the model to try and make sense of it. That's why I say, when I looked at it, I thought there must be a massive deal somewhere that is in the pipeline where there's going to be a major order of the yellow equipment, and they can lock that profit for themselves, and that would become a major the down payment towards the transaction. So yeah, I'd be surprised if shareholders would claim that their interests were prejudiced because the CEO was involved. I mean, based on the price that they offered, I don't think that price was expected.
Yeah, 100%. And maybe let's just contextualize that, right? I always like to think of the share price and the net asset value as the cake, and then the icing on top being that additional value, that the 120 Rand per share, that's an addition in terms of the deal, coupled with the dividend payout that they'll still continue to maintain. How much of this is the cream versus the cake?
Yeah, I'd probably, if I look at a model that doesn't know anything into the future, into the pipeline, I would have thought that 105, 110 would have been a good number. Mm-hmm. And they've gone way beyond that at the base price. And you add the dividend there, you're probably looking at 20 Rand of a good cream on top.
Sure. Phenomenal. I'm so intrigued to see how this one does transpire as we continue to discuss it. But let's not forget another big deal that happened earlier today. Confirmation from Bidvest as to who it's selling its banking assets to. It did allude to the fact that it would be letting go of its banking assets, but now confirming that they're selling it to Access Bank, a company that entered the South African market in 2021, and that's at a fee of 2.8 billion rand. How are you reading this one?
I think the fantastic execution by the CEO, Ms. Madisa, she has done a phenomenal job. I think she stepped into big boots of guys that had been with Bidvest for years, and there was initially a bit of doubt. She's executed amazingly well. And this value unlock that she's been driving, selling the financial services businesses has been amazing. And the transaction that she's done, I mean, it's not a big amount in the context of Bidvest. It's probably like 2% of the market value of Bidvest. But I think it gives them focus around their core capabilities. It takes them away from a low return business. I mean, banking, if you don't get depositors in, you actually have to fund the loans through capital that you raise from third parties, capital that you raise from the equity holders. And that is quite expensive capital. So it only succeeds when there's a deposit franchise and you can get, you can pay people 2% on their deposits and you lend the money out at 14%. And between the 2% and the 14%, you are able then to pay for the corporate costs, the infrastructure and all those things. So it is a fantastic deal that they are now handing that business over to Access Bank, which is a bank that's got over $7 billion in assets, yes. Banking assets. So I think it's a very positive deal for Bidvest, but also the bank would be in a better home going forward.
Definitely, especially given the expansion that Access Bank does want to have across the continent. And South Africa has been a key market for them. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Putswelake. We'll have to leave it there for today, but I can just imagine the different layers that we can continue to dissect around these transactions and what they illustrate, right? But thank you so much for your contribution to the show throughout 2024, and we look forward to touching base with you in the new year.
Thank you very much, Google, and all the best to you and your listeners for the festive season, and hopefully 2025 is a good year for all of you.
Definitely. Likewise. Thank you again for your time. That's Welake Mnguni, Chief Investment Officer at Benguela Global Fund Managers.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.